Blog Talk Radio. You got muted, huh? Let's
see. Kind of hear me. Okay, we got Blog Talk on now, so I'm going to ask everybody on Blog Talk, if you're not talking, please mute your phone because this is a digital service, and it picks up everything. It even picks up a pin dropping on the floor. You can hear everything in the background. Even when you think you're secretly being quiet, it picks it up. So we are on Facebook at the same time. And on tonight, we are going to have our speakers. I'm part of the program also, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Our speakers are Mother Tony and Elder Ron Montgomery. They're going to be teaching about marriage, what the Bible says about marriage, and how we should go about marriage. We shouldn't go about marriage far as what the hip-hop housewives, the Atlanta housewives, and the New York housewives. Oh, we shouldn't go about marriage that way because that's the marriage of the world. We want to go about the blessed marriage that teaches us that God said that whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. I know a lot of times we say favor of the Lord, but it says from the Lord. So that means it's ongoing favor because you found a good thing. Mm. Ladies, you can pat yourself on the chest and say, God, you said I was a good thing. I thank God for his mercy. I thank him for it. I'm going to see if our speakers are on the line, and we're going to go from there, and we're going to go into the program on tonight. Mother Tony and Elder Ron, are you on the line?
Yeah, we here.
Y'all hear that? They say, yeah, we here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask Tony, do you want, Elder Ron, want to pray before we go into the little testimony I asked you, could I give before we start?
We'll pray later.
Okay, well, we're going to just ask God to open up everybody's heart and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying on tonight. And if you all are listening in, whether it's Blog Talk or Facebook, please get your paper, pencil, pad, and your Bible so that you can follow along. Because, see, we're going to give you the word, not a word. Now, so you're going to get the word, and we're going to give you reference that you can go back to. So when Mother Tony told me that we were going to continue with talking about marriage, because, see, Mother Tony and Elder Ron teaches us that marriage is not just something you do, but it's a lifestyle. And it's not something we invented. It was invented from Adam and Eve. I know y'all know that story. But we're going to talk about these things. And one thing I do know that within marriage, you have ups and downs. And I want to tell you all and share you with people that I remember growing up, there were several things my mother taught us. And I remember the first thing she taught us was that she said, every wise woman buildeth her house with her hands, but a foolish woman tears it down. And as a kid, I said, Mom, what you mean by that? And she explained to it what she meant by that. She explained that statement to me and my sisters. Now, I want you all to think that I feel that I was the only one. No, we were in a household, and I had an auntie lived upstairs. We called her Aunt Sweetie. She would also teach us things, and I had an Aunt Baby sister that also would talk to us about how a woman should act. She didn't teach us like little girls. She taught us as in the future that you teach a kid while they're young so that they'll know how to act when they get older. So on today, I was looking up something, and I found a verse that was the same as Proverbs 21 that was and 9, that's the same in Proverbs 25 and 24. It said, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Woo! It said the housetop, so it said go up on the roof than to be in a house with a brawling woman. And I'm just saying that to say, a lot of times, because we don't go about marriage through the word, we want to let social media and these different programs they have teach us about marriage, sometimes we have to realize what role we play in it. Are we being the wise woman that's building our house, or are we being the foolish woman that tear it down with her hands? I love the fact the Bible says that a man that finds a good thing, he obtains a favor from the Lord. My mom also taught us that a man should, you know, cleave unto his wife, leave his mother and his father, cleave unto his wife. So before I go any further, because I know most of you are looking in and listening, you've heard these scriptures throughout life, and I'm going to hand it over to the woman of God that has been married some double-digit years. Whoa, I'm telling you, some of y'all that's listening in may be the same age or not even made it that old yet, but they have longevity. You know, that's like seniority on a job. They got seniority in this marriage, and they're going to teach us something. So please listen in, and please get something out of it. At the end of the program, we'll give you an opportunity to say something on Blog Talk, on Facebook. You could type in, and we will see what your comments are. And if we get a chance, we'll address them. Thank you. Please share. Pastor Tony, Mother Missionary, it's in your hands. Elder Ron, Pastor, Reverend Deacon, it's in your hands.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wait a minute. Ron, when are you going to wash them dishes?
Oh, I'll get them done when I get them done. I'll get around to it.
Well, you've been saying that for the last 3 days, and they still ain't done. I need them right away. I need them done today.
Well, then you do them.
What?
You want them done right away? You doing them yourself?
What? You told me 3 days ago that you were going to do them dishes. If you was going to tell me that, now you're telling me I have to do it myself? Wait a minute. Why didn't you tell me that 3 days ago?
Well, it wouldn't hurt for you to do them once in a while. I do them all the time.
Huh?
You want the dishes washed, wash them yourself. You never
wash
the dishes.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Hmm.
You never clean the stove.
Hmm.
I do. You never mop the floor. I do. What do you do around here anyway?
Oh, what do I do around here? When was the last time you cooked a meal for yourself?
Huh? Hmm?
And speaking of mopping the floor, when are you going to get around to it anyway? This old nasty floor. Better yet, when was the last time you mopped the floor?
When was the last time you took out the garbage? When was the last time you cleaned off the stove before you cooking them meals on?
Huh?
And since we're talking about people not doing stuff they're supposed to be doing, why do you park the car so far over and so far back in the garage? I can hardly get by myself when I get out the way you, because of the way you park the car, but you don't put it on the line I marked out there.
Yeah. You could get there around there a little easier if you was going to the gym sometimes once in a while and lose some of that beef that you picked up.
Okay, y'all.
We're setting
the stage for our subject tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about quarreling. And Tony and I use the word quarreling.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a softer word than arguing or humbug and a fighting. It sounds like we can come to some kind of resolution to our situation. So let's make sure that we know that quarrels are inevitable in marriage.
Right.
They have to be, because you quarrel all the time. You quarrel with the people at work. You quarrel sometimes when you go to McDonald's with a girl at the window because she didn't get your order right. Quarreling is a necessary entity. The problem with that is, though, you leave those places and you go home. And you go home, so who are you going to be with for the rest of your life? So quarreling is going to be inevitable. The problem is you've got a lot more at stake. So let's talk about how we're going to do some positive quarreling, and that's what our subject is about tonight.
Well, you know, Ron, when we talk about positive quarreling or quarreling in itself, is that we've got to identify some of those things that cause this strife, this quarreling among couples. And so what do you say is one of those things that really, really create issues in a marriage, in a covenant marriage? Because we're talking about a God-centered marriage, much like Minister Sylvie was talking about, that that Bible-centered marriage. But sometimes it doesn't seem too Bible-like.
No, it doesn't. And to make sure that what we're imparting tonight is from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit, let's ask God to come and join us in this study.
Yes,
Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, just to thank you.
Yes,
Father,
yes.
We come with humbled hearts and bowed heads to thank you for all that you provided us with. Lord, you provided us with the technology to even talk to people from coast to coast, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we pray that the words that we impart upon them, the words that come from your holy word, and we pray that we will be able to include you in what we study and talk about tonight, Lord. We ask that you bless our words. We ask that you bless the people that are here who have assembled.
Yes.
We ask and give thanks in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we got about five things that we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And they have a couple parts of it. Okay? So if you're taking notes, the first thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about several. These five things are all about communication.
Mm-hmm.
And two parts of the communication are harsh and abusive communication. That's the first one, harsh and abusive communication.
Mm. So tell me a little more about when you say harsh communication. Can you give me some clarity on that? What does that mean?
Harsh criticisms. They talk about the quality or the lack of work.
Mm.
You know, they're talking about what the person does, a behavior. Harsh startups when happens when we begin conversations with our spouses with criticisms, accusations, or questions that put the other person on the defensive before healthy communication can take place.
Mm.
Like, Ron, when you gonna wash these dishes? And that was more of a situation of how it was said as opposed to what was said.
Right. That's right.
Well, you heard that tone, right?
Mm-hmm. I worked my neck, yeah.
Yes, and that when a wife steps into the house, a husband's first words are, why didn't you deposit that check like you said you were going to today? I just got a text alert from the bank that said our checking account is overdrawn. What were you thinking? You must learn to speak words in a harsh environment. So we have to speak kind words, like honey dropped into our spirit, but harsh words burn through our hearts and leave a scar.
Wow.
Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
You know, that whole idea about harsh communication, I think a lot of times we model what we saw growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get in a situation where we have to almost defend ourselves from the communication that's coming from our spouse, it's almost like we're dealing with a stranger. It's not like we're dealing with somebody that we love or being loved by. So it's really careful that we have to pay attention to that harsh communication. And is there, what's another issue that causes harm to our marriages, our covenant marriages, Ron?
Well, along with harsh communication, you know, we're talking about five different things. Right now we're going to talk about harsh and abusive communication. Now, we said the harsh communication starts by talking about behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Abusive communication is very similar to harsh. But these are direct attacks on the spouse, not necessarily their behavior, but their person.
Oh, so they're talking about, you know, out to, almost like it hurts them. Maybe they're out to hurt them, to damage their character. So they, sometimes we don't even realize what we're doing because we're in such a fit of anger in mm-hmm. that moment. And it's just, you know, well, I don't know why they don't get what I'm saying to them. And, you know, last time we talked about listening. This time it's really about what comes out of our mouth. And like you said, it has a lot to do with us really thinking before we speak,
mm-hmm.
that whole thinking. So what's another area that we're going to talk about?
Okay, so area number one, were harsh and abusive communication.
Uh-huh.
Area number two is going to be a combination of being dishonest and silent communication.
What?
Dishonest?
Yes. Am I mayor?
Dishonest and silent communication.
What do you mean by that?
When you're asked a question,
mm-hmm.
and put on the spot. And this happens to guys a lot because we don't think as quickly as women. And the reason why is because we don't have as many words.
Yeah, that's true.
It has been scientifically proven that
we
have a lot more inappropriate words than the women do. And I mean, I'm not talking about inappropriate in the sense of you know, vulgar language. I mean inappropriate for the situation.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And we have a tendency to be dishonest in a covert, passive way.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
In other words, when we're asked, how do we feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though we may be upset about it,
mm-hmm.
we'll go, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, no problem.
And I can even see that maybe you're not all right, but that still becomes your answer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that's not being honest.
That's not being honest. And as it said in Ephesians 4:16, instead of speaking the truth, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So even in these situations where you're put on the spot and mm-hmm. think your words are inappropriate, it is very, very necessary for you to think about it and give an honest answer. How do you honestly feel? What do you honestly think?
And so sometimes that even goes back to, and as I mentioned before, how we responded as a child is our honest communication maybe then was not received. And so as we grew and got into relationships, we did not really nurture that honest part of communication. So we were like, you know, if I don't say anything, just a pass and I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a pass. But now I'm stuffing, I'm holding stuff in, I'm a fester. Even in such holy relationships, if we don't deal with our heart, this continues to cause us to have dysfunctional communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a, you know, trick of the enemy, because it keeps us from dealing with those issues of the heart. How are we dealing with how we're feeling about this communication? And we think sometimes we're protecting ourselves by being quiet.
Mm. Right.
Instead of,
and that's the part about the silent communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe we think we're protecting ourselves, but I think it's more that we're getting back at the other person.
Hmm.
We're going to give them the silent treatment. Use our silence to communicate. You use silence as a weapon. And you know how it's done. You just don't say anything.
Right.
With words.
Right.
But you say it with your body language.
Mm-hmm.
You say it with your gesture.
Yeah.
You say it with your physical presence in certain places, in certain ways, sitting on the edge of the bed, swinging your leg, working your neck, not saying anything.
Yeah.
And saying something all together. And all that does is fester a situation that doesn't get it discussed, it doesn't get it talked about, it doesn't get a resolution brought.
Mm-hmm.
to whatever the situation is.
Right.
The problem with that is,
mm-hmm.
is that we wind up concentrating on that behavior as opposed to concentrating on the problem that we're wanting to solve.
Mm, sort of like when we started the whole issue about the dishes, it went all the way out to the car in the garage.
To the car in the garage? Wait a minute. What do you mean? You told me I needed to go to the gym and get rid of this beef.
Y'all have to know. Ron had to write it out for me because I couldn't do it. He was like, I can't even give you the fuss. I said, no, it ain't in my feelings. But it sounded like Minister Sylvia had something to say. Sylvia, did you have something to add to what we're saying here?
Elder Ron is so right. A lot of times, you know, we hear people say, you know, they say, I held back, you know, brother,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, they held back from the spouse to make them mad, or you're going to
mm-hmm.
show them. A lot of times we don't realize, or we do, we know what we're doing. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that being quiet, shaking our feet, moving our head, not saying anything, or the way, you know how we have that, what they call that side look, the way you turn your head. Yeah. That you're not going to have just one problem. You now have another problem that's been added
mm-hmm.
on. Then you're going to,
exactly.
you know, and us as women say, well, you know, and by the way, I remember back when. We don't, uh-huh. we like elephants. We don't forget it, ain't going to let it go.
So we dragging all that stuff from yesterday.
Right,
I think,
you know how
to hug it. Hysterical, historical. We just bring it out. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how to hug it. I thought you forgave me. I did, but I didn't forget.
So, yeah. So we have to really understand that if we're dragging all that stuff up, the scripture says that God puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't
yes.
forget. So if
mm-hmm.
he is our father, and Ron gave us the scripture that we are going to be like Christ, we're going to do that, we're going to become like him, the head of the church, then we're going to have to actually act that out. We're going to have to walk that out. You know what I'm saying? That we get to walk out what the Spirit of the Lord is really showing. And I'm not saying being abused. I'm saying at this point that silence is a weapon.
Yeah.
And it's not bringing anything to the marriage that's whole. It's taking away from the marriage. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the saints of God who can't get along. What does that tell the people who are looking on? And, you know, it made me really think about how we need to feed and care for our marriage, that we need to take care of it. And it's the scripture where I think it was in Luke, he said that what's the most important commandment? And Jesus says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no commandment greater than these. And so it made me think, all those Ten Commandments, God just put them into two. And Ron and I were saying earlier how that second commandment is really speaking to how you nurture your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do it to a friend, how much more do you do how you communicate and care for your mate, for your spouse? You
mm-hmm.
treat them, you love them like you love yourself.
Yeah.
So that's so important. So when we look at another aspect of quarreling or communication, we really talk about insensitive communication.
Mm.
Insensitive and reactive.
And reactive.
Communication.
Mm.
These are, these exist at a center point,
okay,
in their existence,
mm-hmm.
shall we say, and that this is the third one we're talking about, right?
Right, the third.
If you're taking notes, we started out with
harsh communication
and abusive communication.
Uh-huh.
That was the first one. The second one was being dishonest and silent.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is going to be insensitive and reactive communication. Now, what is that?
Well, you know, Ron, that's when we're not really showing our spouse any consideration for a problem that we keep wanting them, that they're having, even though we're wanting them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to do what we want them to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, and we talk about it, but it's like they're unable to get it done. The whole thing with the dishes, 2-3 days, and so it's like I just should have gone and washed the dishes. It shouldn't have become an issue. You know?
Or I should have just gone and washed the dishes. It's my chore to do.
Right.
It's not threatening to the relationship. It just makes it rough.
Right. Right.
Now, we have to remember, as we said before, you know, marriage is not a destination.
No.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
So you might as well enjoy it. There is something enjoyable about pleasing your wife by doing the dishes.
Yeah. or serving them, you know, but it's still, it's not to ignore your spouse. It is really the opportunity to serve them.
Exactly. And that's basically what it boils to, particularly in this insensitive communication
mm-hmm.
situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to show that you're insensitive to the way they feel. A good example of it is husband comes home from work, and I mean, I know he's sweating, and he's hot, and he's tired, and he comes home, and he finds his wife laying down.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "I'm sorry, I am not feeling well. I just don't feel like cooking." Okay, now he has one or two ways that he can react to that.
Okay.
He can say, "What? What do you mean you're not feeling well? I've been working hard all day long, come home and I expect a meal, and you land up here in the bed sleep? Come on now, suck it up. You got to put on your big girl or whatever they call it, Penny, and get up here and do some work." You know, which is an extremely insensitive response to that situation.
Right, yeah.
Whereas he could, on the other hand, what could he do? Help us out, Sister Sophia. I mean, Sister Sophia. Or Mother Tony, which one?
Okay. I'll go, and then Sylvia can go next. I just think that would have been an opportunity for him to say to his wife, "First, this is not something that goes on very often. I am really sorry to see that you're not feeling well. I'm going to go get us something to eat if he doesn't cook, or I'm going to cook something to eat. Is there anything you want, darling? Is there anything particularly you want that would make you feel better?"
Mm-hmm.
And so he's responding to the opportunity to serve her
mm-hmm.
instead of attack her, because he's not getting his, you know, needs met at that time, because he's hungry and he's tired, and that's difficult. What do you say to that, Sylvia?
Yes, I say that he could even order something, have it delivered, or say,
mm-hmm.
"You know what? Let me look in the refrigerator, see if we have any leftovers."
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or throughout the day, if he had a chance, he could have communicated with her to find out how was she feeling, you know, before he got home, because he could have made a stop before he got home.
Yeah, well, and on her, too. She could have texted him or
called
him
and said, I'm not good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you bring something home for dinner? Or because the other thing is that we know our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just ignore. We just ignore that we know our spouses and know that he's had a long day and know that one of the things that he always has is a meal waiting for him. That didn't happen today. And so
that goes back
so
to the silent mm-hmm. communication, because neither one of them thought to pick the phone up to check on or let know. He could have checked on her,
mm-hmm.
she could have let know.
Mm-hmm.
True enough.
And so, So that's.
Well, even if they hadn't communicated, his response, "I'm sorry," was out of order. And I can say that after years and years of experience of being married. And the first thing that I would have done was trying to find out what was wrong with her and what I could do to help her heal. And if bringing her a glass of water, a pain pill, fluffing up her pillow, rubbing her feet, whatever it takes. And then, like you said, Sylvia, order something online and have them brought to the door. Ask her what she feels like eating. She might just want some soup.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, Timothy, Paul encouraged Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 23-24, he says, don't have anything to do with foolishness and stupid arguments because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone about and able to teach and not resentful. So here is that it's really encouraging us as leaders in our homes, even in our churches, that we have a role to play to really communicate to our loved ones in such a way that it helps them understand how much we care for them. And then part of that could be this whole idea of reactive communication. That, you know, there's no discussion because everybody's hollering and screaming at the top of their voice. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
It's all about them asserting their own agenda. We talked a little about listening last time. We'll talk a lot about listening.
As a matter of fact, what we did at the beginning of the show was a reactive communication style.
Yes.
It was a matter of one-upsmanship. I'm not listening to a word you're saying or whatever you're saying. I'm going to take it and use it against you.
And so we have to learn the best way to communicate with our spouse. And so we really need to learn what our spouse's communication style is. So this is when we learn who God has placed in our path. So we really get an idea of their do's and their don'ts. How do they prefer to be communicated with in situations like in conflict? How do they resolve their conflict? How do they work under stress? What's the best way to deal with my spouse? We work with Dr. Dewey and Lynn Wilson, and they really encourage couples to, you know, go through a mentoring process so they can learn these different ways to communicate with their spouse. Because a great deal of what happens is that we're so busy being in our own head, we can't get out of our head to really think about our spouse, especially in conflict. In conflict, mm-hmm. It's like all deals are off. I don't care how much salvation I got. The Holy Ghost, is I'm putting them on the shelf, and we're going to go after it. And that doesn't please the Lord. He doesn't want that. He wants our marriages to be rich and full, that we can enjoy. And so it's so important that we are careful that we govern our tongue. Because if we practice some of the things that come out of our heart, which is, you know, can be very desperately wicked, our tongue can destroy our marriage. It can be like a sharp razor. It says it in Psalms 52:2.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to really be careful of what we do. And I think it's in Romans. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom.
Amen.
And so we really want to encourage that when you're dealing with reactive communication, somebody just needs to be wise. And now this silence is not holding back the truth. Now silence is protecting the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways you use. This might be if one of us in our staged argument was quiet, the other person wouldn't have had anything to say because they wouldn't have anybody to get back, go back and forth with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And in a lot of cases, it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because suppose when Tony, when I offered the resistance for washing the dishes, oh, I'll get around to it, that kind of thing. Tony walked over to the sink and started filling the sink up with dishwater and started washing the sink. I started washing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But what if she went over there and started flinging dishes and acting like she was mad about having to do it and stacking dishes this way and that way and splashing dishwater everywhere? You know,
yeah.
That wouldn't have had the same effect as if she had gone over there and very politely started washing dishes. And to tell the truth, a situation like that would have gotten my attention because
yeah.
I take a lot of pride in the way I wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wash and rinse only in super hot water and clean dishwater.
He's such a good dishwasher. He really is. I'm proud of my husband.
I don't want anybody else trying to wash the dishes. I sanitize them bad, boy. But that's just a matter of how you do things, and as opposed to what you do. And so we have to be very, very careful about that. We have to operate as the soul of discretion.
Not only what, it's also when you do it. So we're going to talk about this idea of public communication and sarcastic communication.
That's number four?
That's number four.
Number four, public communication.
Yeah, sometimes they
sarcastic.
Can be tightly coupled together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I can get you out in public, and I'm going to carry how I'm feeling out there, and I'm going to be telling people about what you are doing and in front of, I'm going to say it in front of the family. I don't care. I'm going to say it in front. I'm small.
And you pass it on like it's some kind of funny story.
Yeah.
Like y'all should have seen where she was trying to get her, she was trying to put her shoes on, didn't know what to put in what shoe. You know.
And really pretending like it's funny, but it's really hurting your spouse. It's really causing them pain. And they know it. Because they said, baby, please don't do that. Don't do that when we're in public.
Mm-hmm.
Or this idea of sarcasm. It fuels and it can light a fire that positively violates the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it causes real serious concern that now you talk down to your spouse in front of people,
mm-hmm.
or say something that's negative.
Oh, you got a cold, huh? Maybe you ought to put on a sweater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and instead of looking for a solution, it's more like you're making fun of the situation. And again, you're not feeding your marriage. You're not nurturing your marriage. You're destroying the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul told his son Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:14, it says
your son?
His son. He considered him his son in the Lord.
Oh, okay.
And he says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins who listen. So people are looking on, they say, y'all been married 47 years and that's how you treat each other? That's what you say. Ooh, I don't want to get married. I don't be bothered with that. You know, that doesn't sound right. You know, so we want to represent Christ well in our marriages, but quarreling can spill over and let the world see a side of God that doesn't exist because it's like you were saying when you started our talk tonight, that it's the world. We've taken on the world. We've put on that. And there's one more point, Ron. The time is getting away. We always end up doing this.
Yeah, this,
what's that last point?
This is what this is the point you get to when you've ignored all the signs.
Mm.
And that's the hopeless and the final speech communication.
Mm-hmm.
The hopeless communication, when you get to the place where you say, what's the point? Or saying things like, I don't think we can make it.
Mm.
This is a dangerous spot for a husband and wife to be in. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as stated in John, the 10th verse and the 10th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The 10th chapter and the 10th verse.
Right.
The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
He hates an intact God-centered relationship and is attacking them. Okay? The final speech communication is much like
hopelessness.
Oh, yeah, hopeless communication. Final speech is at the point of giving up long before this happens. As Pastor Jimmy Evans says, you should have an emergency plan in place.
Okay.
And this is this is maintenance. This is regular maintenance that you have to do to your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You should know someone who's an advocate for your marriage.
Yes.
That you know that you can go to and they will advocate for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a close relative or friend.
Yes.
But they will be the advocate for your marriage. They will never suggest that the two of you break up.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
They have to be a retreat or a conference or something. Here's the way you treat your marriage. Treat your marriage like you treat a car that you want to keep for the rest of your life.
What do you mean?
You get the oil change every 3,000 miles every 3 months,
mm-hmm.
without regard to how it's made.
Okay.
Okay. You use the appropriate gasoline for it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do any roughhouse driving, though.
Okay.
And you keep it clean so it doesn't rust out.
Amen.
Yeah. You take care. In the same way, you have to maintain your marriage, because you don't want to ignore the marriage. Well, you never change the oil, and you wind up throwing a rod and have to replace the engine or junk the car.
No.
And in the case of the world, we wind up junking the marriage, because we did nothing to take care
of. Oh, God.
So we have to put those things in place. We have to seek and actively seek someone who is a proponent for our marriage. And look at the people who have successful marriages.
Yes, that's true.
And ask them, how do they do it?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you one thing.
Okay, what's that?
If you do that, you're going to edify their marriage too.
Ah, I know. We experience that ourselves over and over.
You will.
Yeah. Oh, so we've come to the end of our conversation, our teaching tonight about quarreling. We just didn't want to highlight quarreling. We wanted to say that it happens, but there is a solution to the problem when you seek God's answer. And so God has come along and given us some verses to share with you. And we just really want marriages to be whole. We want people to have a life in it more abundantly. You know, there's so much God has given us that when we do it right, we give him the glory, and heaven is really being magnified here on earth. And so we really want the kingdom to get all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, Minister Sylvia, it's in your hands.
Thank you all so much for teaching us about marriage, because we know it's a couple of things. As you all were teaching, God was dropping in my spirit. He said, mm-hmm. when you first together, before the marriage and after the marriage, you both call each other baby. Why don't you treat the marriage like a baby? Yes. Why don't you treat the marriage like a baby? You care for a baby. You provide a baby. You make sure everything that baby needs is in that bag.
Amen.
And I was like, thank you. I thank you for this couple that's not just willing to, but they have been a living example to show us that we can do like it said in James 3 and 5. We can let that little member, that little tongue, kindle up a fire.
On. Come on.
Yes. We can do that. So at this time, I'm going to ask, is there anybody on Blog Talk would like to have something to say? Minister Margot wrote on Facebook, our marriages need regular maintenance. So if you have anything to say, you can speak up at this time, and Pastor Ron and Mother Tony will address your comments.
Amen.
This is silly. You got to stop calling me pastor.
You are pastor. You're teaching us about marriage.
That's right.
I'm just a lay minister.
Okay.
Well, good evening, lay minister Ron, Mother Tony, Minister Renee. Once again, you guys are awesome. This is like a blueprint for those young couples. And my point, though, is not being married, but during courtship, and I don't think that it's called that anymore, but during courtship is when you should lay a foundation for communication. Instead of all this physical activity, learn how to talk to each other and learn about each other so that you can communicate effectively. And the first point, Ron, harsh and abusive communication, we see that much too often, because people in a relationship lead with emotion first. It's like a self-centered me. So we see that. We see that a lot. But when God is at the center of a marriage, we are kind of forming a three-chord strand, and that includes God. And so God has laid out a template in his word for you to follow regarding marriage. And sometimes I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have to stop asking of marriage what God never designed it to give: perfect happiness, conflict-free living. You know, there's a design that God has laid out for us to follow. Now, if you read, if you pray, if you have Bible study with each other and your children, see, that's where your foundation comes in. And see, this is a lot of good knowledge that I have now that I should have had 30 years ago. And another one, dishonest and silent communication. Speak the truth in love and not being passively dishonest, because those feelings fester. And when they get to a boiling point, that's when things break down. So you guys brought that out very well. And point, I got notes all over the place here. I'm I got papers. let's see. Oh, modeling. Another good point you brought up. We model what we have seen growing up. You know, and that's absolutely right, because our childhood experience with our parents provides a model for adult relationships that we enter into, because our parents' relationship is the first and most influential example of how to interact and communicate. So all of this is great. This is all great. I really appreciate you guys, and you do it so well.
Thank you, Carmina.
Thank you, Carmina.
Oh, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you for this lesson. Okay.
Thank you, Carmina. Thank you so much. That was awesome with the communication, because a lot of us, when we start off dating and the young man asks us, a woman, so what is it that you're looking for in a man? Instead of her saying, I want to be spoiled, she say, I don't know. You should be from the beginning. So is there anyone else on the line that would like to speak into the man and woman of God's life on tonight that have taught us a very valuable lesson about marriage and how to go through marriage?
Well, good evening. This is Minister Margot. I'd like to thank lay minister Rob and my sister Tony for their words tonight. I had a couple of questions. I wanted to ask, in your second point about dishonest and silent communication, could you repeat the scriptures that you gave as reference points? Because I sort of missed it. I was having trouble hearing.
Ephesians 4:15.
Okay.
Speak truth in love, and we will grow.
That was, okay. Yeah, that was being dishonest. I think she's talking about harsh and abusive communication.
Oh, no, I was talking about number two. I was talking about number two, dishonest,
I'm sorry.
Silent communication.
Right.
And I thought you made a reference in Luke, or no, not really. I have Luke down here, but I didn't have the scripture. But anyway, you can find it and let me know. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, which I think is really important, being a, how can you say it, a seasoned married person,
yes.
One of the important things to me, when you talked about the regular maintenance, is really how we refer to and speak to our mate on a regular basis.
Yes.
The way we speak to them and trying to remember that our words are really important and to be kind. And the modeling is very important. One thing I have to say about my husband is that he's always been very kind, always speaks very kindly to me. He raised his voice in 45 years. He's raised his voice once to me. That's a blessing. And in addition, we have this habit of always holding hands. Even if there's an issue, we're holding hands always. And I can remember him picking me up from school and coming, and we're walking down the hall and we're holding hands. And I had teachers go, well, you guys are holding hands and you've been together all this time? And I'm like, yeah, that's one thing that, you know, it's like those things that you practice are important.
Yes.
So anyway,
yes.
I don't want to take up too much more time, only to say that having God in the center is the main important thing, and making sure we do what? We govern our tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Bless you both. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Margo.
Thank you, Margo.
God bless you. Yes.
I would like to read what Missionary Linda Handy put on Facebook. She said, mm-hmm. Love a comment. Marriage is a journey. Yes. At times we see signs slow down, under construction. Yes, for certain. There come times for repair. Amen. Truly enjoy both of you all. That's what Missionary Linda Handy put on Facebook. I love what she said. We slow down. Under construction.
Yes. Under construction. Amen.
Yes. Is there anyone else would like to speak on tonight?
This is Cecilia. I just want to say thank you for the awesome lessons that you've been sharing with us, and your transparency and the various scenarios and examples that you give. I can truly say that people now have great examples and teachings. When I was growing up, I have to admit, I don't remember ever having anyone not only teach them, but be as transparent as you all. And I appreciate it for the younger couples and people that are out there that are thinking about marriage, because teaching like this really gives us what we need. And it's not all laid out in the Bible. It's based off of what you all are telling us that you've actually lived. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having us.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak out tonight about the program, what you got out of it? Well, I thank God for everyone that spoke, had things to say, Facebook as well as Blog Talk, because I know that this is very valuable, that this was the first thing that God gave us. After he gave us life on the earth through Adam, he gave Eve. And the first thing he gave as a human, after Adam named everything, he gave marriage. So this marriage is a gift. It's the first gift that we were given. And a lot of us need to stop going in it like it's a reset button when things don't go right. We want to push a reset button. I thank God for even restoration of marriage.
Yes.
Thank God for that. And I want you all to understand that I think it is a privilege that not only does Mother Montgomery teach us that her husband gladly, willingly, and said, yes, I would be a part of it. Because see, it's one thing to learn about marriage, but when you have a couple that's teaching you not what they read, not what they heard, but something that they're living, you have to know how awesome that is to be able to have firsthand information straight from the horse's mouth. So at this time, I'm going to give you all my final remarks. I'm going to let Missionary and Elder Ron, he said he wants to be called Minister Ron, to pray us out, and the service will be over. So I want you all to know that this Friday coming up will be a program that God has put out. Watch my Facebook posting so you will know who will be the speaker.
Okay.
That it will be in. Pardon me? Oh, I thought
no,
you said
say
no.
Okay.
Okay, it will be at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. On Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, you have our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser. Please tune in. Please share these programs with your family. Come back next Monday. We have a program also that you will be edified through the Word of God. Don't forget, this is a ministry that God called, not a ministry that we called or a ministry that was put together. This is something that we do voluntarily because, see, we don't just love the Lord, we love God's people.
Yeah.
Our foundation scriptures say, it's Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What that means is that God has given us a desire in our heart to try to cover every base because we're not even going to save devices. We're not going to let you have an excuse. We're not going to even let you get the opportunity for the enemy to give you an excuse. Everything is covered in this ministry. So just know this. We teach about life experience, not something we read in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And Minister Ron and Mother Tony is back in your hands to close us out. And I want to say thank you for tonight's lesson. It was awesome.
Oh, well,
thank you.
We thank you. So, Heavenly Father, God, we just say thank you. We praise your name, for you are magnificent, and there's no God like you. We thank you, Lord God, for this ministry and these young women that you have called, Lord God, to do your work, to bless your people. And we just thank you for the work that they are doing, that you've placed at their hands. And God, we ask that you continue to cover them, Lord God, with your blood, keep them and protect them from the evil one and their families, that they might grow, Lord God, in grace and understanding, and that they might stand in this last and evil day. God, we ask that you bless all that listen tonight and all those that might listen in the future if they get a chance to hear, that they might know that you are our God who loves marriage. It was your ordained institution to fulfill your promises that you have for us. And so, God, we ask that you bless every marriage, everyone that desires to be married, Lord God. We ask that you, Lord, talk to them and speak to them that they might know that you have them on your heart and on your mind. We just ask that you bless in a special way. And we're going to be careful, Daddy, to give you praise. We're not going to use any of these negative communication skills, Lord, but we're going to use all of those communication skills that's going to grow and is going to nurture our marriage that it might bring you glory. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
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 Good night,
Amen.
Everyone.
Good night. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.